Hello, internet. Is the internet ready? Are you ready to receive our voices in your ear holes, internet?
Your earballs.
Earballs.
Are you ready?
I'm pretty sure the internet's in your earballs.
I don't remember that in my comparative anatomy class.
Earballs is from Archer, which Brita.
Yes, it is.
Because Brita is always right.
Is it Carol or Cheryl?
It depends on the day.
I guess.
Sometimes it's Charlene.
I think, yeah. Oh. It's for the first like few episodes of the first season, she's got a different C name every time. It was Crystal at one point, and
I don't even think she knows.
But it is Cheryl Tunt.
Tunt, yes.
Tunt. I love Tunt.
Tycoon Tunt.
Tunt.
Tunt. Yes, which you know they were just giggling about.
Of course.
Oh, by the way, the Brita at Snapchat as a squirrel.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
I like it. I thought it was cute. Great.
It's horrifying beyond the capacity for rational thought.
In the words of Kurtz, the horror.
No. Really, Snapchat, that's like one of the least objectionable looking Snapchats.
Let's just actually say Colonel Kurtz, because let's face it, Apocalypse Now is a shitty ass fucking book. Not Apocalypse Now, but it was Apocalypse Now, but Heart of Darkness was a shitty fucking book.
But a great movie.
Yeah, great movie.
Well, duh, because Charlie don't surf.
Charlie don't surf. He doesn't. It's so true.
Imagine how different things would have been in that part of the world if Charlie had surfed.
Never know what napalm smells like in the morning.
It might have been.
Except he does.
Different.
That is the one thing. Like, everyone quotes that, and it doesn't bother the shit out of everybody else. Because the first thing he says is, "You smell that? That gasoline smell. Nothing else smells like that." Yes, yeah. Yes, it does. Gasoline smells like that.
Gasoline.
You just fucking said so.
So,
once again, I have no idea what you're talking about.
You haven't seen Apocalypse Now?
No.
You should.
I should. I would like it.
You'd fall asleep.
I would definitely start by watching the theatrical cut. I am one of those sick people that likes the extended director's cut, which is just a whole lot more nihilism. Nothing else happens. It's just a whole lot more horror and awfulness.
You can Google the two good scenes in the entire movie and just watch those and be fine.
What are the two good scenes?
The helicopter thing. And the riverboat.
Killed a rabbit. Killed. Oh, wait. That's
the first 15 minutes is pretty awesome too.
Yeah, Apocalypse Now is one of those movies that, like, you know, it's got this giant...
Who's in it?
People you've never heard of.
Ramon Estevez?
Okay. Keep going.
Martin Sheen. Also known as Ramon Sheen.
Isn't there...
The fat guy. Oh,
Harrison
Ronald
Ford
Brando.
For, like, 15 seconds? 15 seconds of Harrison Ford?
Isn't Robert Duvall in
that?
Yeah,
it is.
Yes.
See, I would watch it to watch him.
There you go. He's young. He still doesn't have hair, but he's skinny.
And plays an absolute batshit insane guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I might like it then.
Yeah, you Robert Duvall.
Because I kind of have a Robert Duvall thing.
Yeah. Well, you might like this then.
Did you like Falling Down then, Brita? And Marlon Brando told
me. Oh, I love Falling Down.
Yeah, Falling Down was good.
Falling Down is fucking awesome.
I'm afraid to watch it again.
Because you feel that way every day?
It's one of those movies that I really, really liked, and I just don't want to watch it again and be let down.
It holds up. No, I recently watched it. I own a copy, so.
Ah.
Yeah, it holds up pretty good.
On VHS?
VHS.
I did own a copy on VHS, and I got rid of it.
Because I think this month or next month, they're supposed to stop making VHSs, like, forever.
Are we talking about the same movie, Falling Down, with Michael Douglas?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Yeah, I love that. Yes. Loved it.
Where is he eating his lunch? We actually had somebody that used to work for my former employee that she got laid off and, like, just didn't tell her family for, like, 2 months.
Wow.
Yikes. Yeah.
And it was, like, getting to the point of the, oh, shit, I still haven't found a job, and they still don't know.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, wow. Yeah, I don't even know how to handle all those issues.
What does she do during the day?
Don't ask me. I literally did not dive into that. Is the how can it not be of the? I mean, I remember when I lost that when I was laid off from that company. I told you, Brita, and you're like, who cares? And I'm like, good. That was just the right answer.
Yeah, get another job.
I did.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
And another one.
Two jobs.
Yes. I'm a full-time stay-at-home dad, part-time research scientist.
He's a baby daddy.
So, yeah. So today I got to deal with toddler rage, toddler rage, toddler rage, extreme joy, toddler rage, toddler rage, extreme joy, sleep. Yeah. Sleep, 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 extreme joy, toddler rage.
Wow.
Oh, nothing.
Should you like take her outside and hose her off or something when she starts that? Because that would be my answer.
You know what? Awesome. That would actually fucking work. Because let me tell you, like, you get her anywhere near a hose, she's gonna get drowning wet on her own accord, and
awesome.
and just if she is soaking wet, she is happy.
There you go. Solved. So
that is a good point. I should hose her down. That's what I'll do. That actually will also solve the big problem of the. I wanted to take her outside because it's absolutely gorgeous today, but she would not get brush her teeth or get dressed. And taking her out and hosing her down is just open your mouth. All right, teeth are clean.
Teeth are brushed.
teeth are cleaned, and yep, no, she don't need no clothes to get hosed down. That's just more shit I need to dry off.
It's like Woodstock at Weird's house.
I'm sorry, I'm not as old as you, Jay.
Yeah. It is hot.
Tell me about taking the brown acid, Jay.
You don't remember Woodstock? Weird.
Obviously, he was indulging in the recreational pharmaceutical.
Yeah, otherwise, he'd remember it.
That's true. Right.
Come on, man, you can't own property.
That's right.
Of course I can. I'm not a penniless hippie like you.
I was still in Vermont. I was still in Vermont driving south when I started taking the brown acid.
you're still in Vermont pretending to be a carpenter. Oh wait, that was Bernie Sanders.
And then I woke up 6 to 8 days ago here in Massachusetts.
And thought you were in hell.
Yeah. We could call that a segue.
Yeah.
No, Massachusetts. Like this is actually. I was just telling my wife. This is actually, since I've moved down here, this has been like the first like bad knock that's happened in Massachusetts. Because it really has kind of been just kind of going on a very, very gradual slope uphill. Is the after Heller, a lot of the places that wouldn't issue permits suddenly started issuing permits just out of fear. And they tried to totally fuck over the permitting system and the Gun Owners Action League just took care of it, flipped and flopped around, and made it like, net gain. And yesterday, out of nowhere, just completely out of the rising sun, our attorney general stepped forward and said, the Massachusetts Assault Weapons Ban, which, for those not familiar, the Assault Weapons Ban we were all experiencing from 1994 to 2004, it's the exact same law. We just copied and pasted it onto Massachusetts books so it wouldn't sunset. That Massachusetts ban applies to anything even remotely AR-like, and actually, according to my gun dealer, anything that's semi-auto.
Yeah. Huh.
I would say I don't see how that can stand, but...
It's madness. This is Massachusetts.
That was before Scalia died, so now I don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's going to necessarily have to get as far up into... I mean, so officially now, I mean... As of like right at this exact moment, at the time of this recording, or at the time of you really listening to it, unless you've really been sitting on this one for a while, Massachusetts is officially the least gun-friendly state in the entire country. Because
was there any question before today?
Yeah, or? California and Massachusetts are kind of neck and neck.
Yeah,
with Massachusetts, turns. we've got our awful permit to own, which is pretty goddamn bad, and Illinois is pretty bad too. But I don't think it really competes. But we got our permit to own.
I think Illinois leapfrogged you because Illinois shall issue.
Oh, Illinois has leapfrogged. There's no competition anymore between Massachusetts and Illinois. I mean, Illinois is considerably more gun-friendly state. I mean, they've got like, I don't think they've never even had like magazine bans or anything like that. Like they're
Cook County.
Okay, well, whatever. But
I think, yeah, it's localized, which again, okay, whatever.
Yeah. So, and it's not like Cook County's like that big.
Right.
It's kind of a small county landmass size anyway. So it's like it's not impossible for someone to like move just outside of Cook County to one of the bedroom communities and suddenly be ta-da! I don't have to deal with this crap anymore.
You're only like a half an hour from New Hampshire. I'm just saying.
It's more like 45 minutes. And then if I ever commute into Boston, more like a lifetime.
So yeah. This was the Attorney General, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Does anybody else think she looks like Keanu Reeves in drag?
She actually looks a little bit like Kerry Healy.
Yeah, she does. And oh, I definitely see the Keanu Reeves. Yeah, no, you got a good point. But yeah, but essentially just said like, I mean, again, anti-gunners, we all know they know absolutely nothing about guns and they pride themselves on that. So her little addendum kind of said, all right, if it is a copy of any of like the banned AR-15 AKs,
right,
et cetera, or if it has like any parts interchangeability.
Right. It uses the same operating system.
Right.
That's the phrase that was the operating system.
Yeah. So
I honestly can't tell if this is absolute gross incompetence and knowing not a goddamn thing or if it's insidious.
Do ARs in Massachusetts run Windows or
exactly
or some sort of Linux?
Tandy.
Yeah.
But
Tandy.
But by leaving it vague like that, well, it's semi-automatic. Ergo, it's the same operating system
right.
as an AR.
Depends
so turn
on how vague
your,
you want to be.
Turn in your M&Ps and your Remington 1100.
To be fair, I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot of like a lot of people going more ape shit than it is on this. This only applies to semi-automatic. I believe rifles, but it might be all long guns, but it's not handguns. Handguns are fine. I mean, fine for Massachusetts.
Our other than what's not on the approved firearms roster. Yeah,
our handgun thing is terrible. I mean, we can't buy Glocks.
They're not safe, even though the cops carry them.
Even though the cops carry them, yes. Boston PD issues Glock 19s and 17s. Yep, but no, we can't. Too unsafe. Too dangerous. Because they're so highly trained. God. But yeah.
What the hell is it's only
long guns and it's only semi-autos. So if you've got like one of those like the Mossberg bolt action rifle that takes AR mags, then those are still perfectly legal for sale. If you've got like
until they determine that it shares parts with the AR, so it's also banned.
So that's hopefully going to be like that. Should be our rallying cry. Is this is what we need to like get rid of the assault weapons ban? Is it's not even remotely reasonable. I don't care what you thought about it. This is their little shovel to hit that. I mean, I actually got. I ended up calling like all my representation, even the ones that I knew I wasn't going to get their support, and actually got a call back. I left a voicemail on one of them, but actually got a call back from one of them. And
did they actually tell you to go shit in your hat? Or?
No, the guy was actually super nice and actually super like on the ball and did not fit any stereotypes, but was just firmly in the camp in favor of this, that this was good legislation. And I'm like, this has been the law of the land for 22 years or 21 and change years. Cause right. It's the exact same ban that was in 1994.
So for 10 years,
all of a sudden this rocket scientist attorney general is the, I didn't use that term. I was very respectful. I wasn't going to be divisive. I'm on the squirrel court now. Now I get to be fucking as pissed off as I want to be. I'm pissed.
I'm mad as hell.
Yes. And essentially pointing out that it's the same ban that's since going on 1994. It was in effect in the entire fucking country.
Right.
Like, it was good the assholes that created the New York Safe Act and the people in New Jersey didn't see this magic little thing for where they could clamp down. They didn't see that. No. You know, they didn't suddenly start, like, enforcing people selling post-ban Tech Nines and post-ban ARs. It's just... Nobody else saw this, but all of a sudden she's claiming, well, it says something about, and I haven't really delved into the, I've only read the the bulletins put through. I haven't actually dug through the weeds that is. I hate reading legislation. But essentially, yeah, you know, they're saying like, yeah, no, if it looks at all like an AR or uses, I mean, I don't even know what the meaning. It sounds like from the press conferences, it sounds like the spirit of the law, which he was trying to do, is essentially say, if it uses an AR receiver or an AK receiver, right, it's banned no matter what. But I read somebody else made a really great point of if her overall statement is exactly what we've been saying, is the by not taking off the flash hider and grinding off the bayonet lug and putting a fixed stock onto an adjustable stock gun doesn't change the gun at all. It's right. Still the same gun inside, and this is a stupid law. And they're admitting it. They're saying, yes, it's the same. That's stupid. So therefore, it should really apply to, you know, all of these guns. Well, never mind the fact that now this is applying to a whole bunch of guns that it may or may not be applying to. Like, I don't know about the, you know, the ultimate golden boy, which is the Ruger Mini 14. I mean, that was always been like the ultimate and band compliant, you know, 223 rifle. I have no idea. I mean, nobody really has any idea. I mean, I called my gun shop. They just said, we're not transferring anything. We are just going to sit on our hands until we get a clarification.
You know, and the kicker is how many companies, how many gun companies put out a ban compliant rifle? They spent money and man hours to have rifles that comply with the ban. And there's a small handful of states that still cling to it. And now, because of this arbitrary and capricious interpretation, which, again, 49 other states and the federal government didn't have this interpretation for 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years. Ooh. And remember, all the other states that have passed
take guns.
All these other states that have passed assault weapons bans in the, you know, in the wake of the sunset of the 94 AWB. They didn't come up with this genius stroke that it's already in the bill. It's always been there.
Right.
You know why?
You need the power to go home all along.
Yeah. No, it hasn't. Yeah, this is kind of like the tax attorney that told Wesley Snipes that it says in the Constitution that he doesn't have to pay his taxes. Yeah. How'd that work out for Wesley Snipes?
Wesley Snipes wasn't the government. So if he was, it probably would have worked out pretty well.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. There's a big rally on Saturday, and I'm gonna be heading into the state house.
The thing that scares me the most, weird, for you and for all the mass gun owners, is the way it was worded. That where she's like, "Oh, for 18 years, you were actually illegally buying guns, but I'm gonna use my discretion and not prosecute you."
Yeah, for now.
That's basically you know, this is a nice shop you got here. It'd be a shame if we would have to prosecute you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, shut up, peasant, or we're going to throw all of you in jail.
What was the line? It's be hope I don't
I don't alter the deal further.
Right, exactly.
I have altered our agreement. I don't alter it further. Right. You know, it's Darth friggin' Vader here.
So, but yeah. Meanwhile... I'm going to defer to Brita on a lot of this because she knows Cleveland a lot better than I do.
Yeah.
Because Cleveland rocks. That's
what Cleveland. It's a steamer.
Brita, there was lots of leading up to the Republican convention. There was a lot of, you know, talk about, massive protests and the leaked plans of the DNC to bring in like 800,000 protesters and
oh god,
all this other
in
stuff
in Cleveland. Wow.
And it's been funny because it's like even the liberals are complaining that not enough people are showing up to protest.
Yeah. And it really, the people who have shown up are the crazy passionate weirdo people, you know, the ones that protest anything and everything, they like to protest.
Well, I mean, there's we are in a time where there are professional protesters.
Yeah. But you get, there's these, okay, let me give you an example. There's this woman who comes in the library and she is like the whitest white woman you've ever seen, but she's convinced she's Native American.
So Elizabeth Warren comes in your library.
Wow.
Basically Elizabeth Warren, but she's like kind of a hippie. She's older. I would put her maybe near 60. She always wears her hair in braids because she thinks she's Native American.
Tell me about the odor, Brita. I want to know about the
odor. No, she's not bad. Okay. But she's always on the computer looking up stuff about Native American things. And, you know, if you have one drop Native American blood in you, you're Native, you know. She's very, like, passionate about this thing. She called up yesterday, and she had my coworker on the phone for, like, 20 minutes trying to find a route into the city because she needed to go and protest with her people.
Her people?
Her people,
yeah. Native Americans.
The Lunatics. Native Americans. And I'm not sure what they're protesting. Exactly. But, yeah. So those are the type of people that are going downtown.
I wonder if her people know she exists.
Yeah.
They're probably going, oh, man, not
actually,
her
she
again.
Used to come. She used to come into the library with a black guy who also wore his hair in braids and was, like, you know, doing the Native American thing. I don't know, but these are the type of people that are going to downtown Cleveland to protest. And
obviously,
and
they're the Cleveland Indians.
They are.
Dad joke. Oh, God.
That was awful.
Everybody take a shot for that one because that was awful. But I really had a feeling that the protesting in Cleveland wouldn't be, like, on the scale of other major cities.
It wasn't going to be Chicago 68.
No. And I think there's a number of reasons. I think, first of all, it's Cleveland. We're kind of a no-nonsense town. We're very blue-collar, very, like, you know.
Didn't one of your local sports franchises win a championship of some kind recently?
Yeah.
And nobody even bothered to set a car on fire.
Well, no, there were no cars on fire. I think the biggest thing that happened were people were standing on a fire truck and the fire truck was, you know, covered in people. And that was, like, the biggest thing, but the fire truck was fine. It's not like they set
no
it on fire
trucks
fire
were
anything.
Hurt in the filming.
No, but it's in Cleveland. We have, like, a, I don't know. I guess we're not like other big cities. I mean, we're a smaller big city, and we're mostly blue collar people, and not many people live, like, in the city. So you don't have that kind of, like, urban type thing like you would in New York or Chicago or whatever. Like, most people, like, commute to Cleveland, so it's like a different thing, you know. So
by the way, everyone,
and I would think
do a
that,
Google image search of fire truck on fire. It's pretty awesome.
I would think that maybe a lot of protesters were like, man, I don't want to go to Cleveland. Cleveland, you know, it's Cleveland. Who wants to go to Cleveland?
Cleveland's
and that's
not
fine.
Hipsters.
Stay out. But I read an article. I guess reporters were going around talking to the different protesters. And Code Pink, of course, was there. And they talked to a Code Pink person, and she was very dismayed at the low turnout of protesters, that there was really not many people, not as many people as they expected, and nobody really showed up. And she, one of her theory was that she thought that a lot of people might have been afraid because open carry was allowed near the convention center.
Yes,
I think there were rings of security. So, like, the most inner ring, you couldn't open carry. But, like, the outer rings, they allowed open carry.
Yeah, you couldn't have bottles of liquids or tennis balls, or there's a whole laundry list of stuff you couldn't have, but guns were fine, which I thought was wonderful.
Well, the Cleveland Police Union really, really tried.
Oh, I know.
To, I don't know if you saw in the news, but Steve Loomis, who is a president of the Cleveland Police Union, he was petitioning the governor to basically, like, just change the law for this 1 week so that open carry would not be allowed and ban guns in the city of Cleveland. Actually, he didn't say Cleveland. He said Cuyahoga County, which is the entire county, which is, you know, Cleveland is a very small part of Cuyahoga County. So he wanted to ban guns or open carry of guns in the entire county just for this week. And what was the quote? I don't care if it's constitutional or not, right. He said. And at that point, he probably should have lost his job. You know, somebody should have fired him for saying that.
Unfortunately, it's Cleveland, so.
But it's Cleveland and it's unions, yep. Which are still really big in Cleveland.
Where does Officer Harless work again?
I don't think he worked used in Cleveland.
To, no, he retired on a disability, and it was Canton, Ohio.
Canton, yeah. But it's the same deal, same you know. Thing.
Yeah. But yeah, he didn't get to work. He now gets a kiss in the mail.
Yeah.
For threatening to murder people.
Yeah. And also another reason why the protesting hasn't been really crazy. Well, two reasons. There's like three times as many cops as protesters downtown. I have a friend on Facebook and she works downtown and she says it's crazy. She's like, it is just swarmed with cops. So, like, anything that might happen, they shut it down, like, right away. And then, I don't know if you heard about the snowplow thing.
What?
Snowplows. Oh, God, this cracked me up so much. So, ODOT, which is the Ohio Department of Transportation, decided that they were going to send out the snowplows. And the reason they gave was for cleaning up debris on the roads.
Like protesters.
Yeah. What debris are we talking about, sir?
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, right. So, and I read this news story, and literally the same day, I saw a snowplow on the road, and it was the weirdest thing. I'm like, it's July, and I'm looking at snowplows, but they're using snowplows also to block streets, and especially blocking a number of bridges. So that the protesters can't, you know.
Now, when we're saying just for picture, are we talking about like dump trucks with V plows, or are we talking about road graders?
No, they're the big plows, the big snow plows.
It's like a giant. It's like a giant dump truck with a blade.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Big ones.
It's like a bulldozer, only it's got wheels.
I don't know about like other parts of the country, but here in New England, we love using road graders for snow plows.
Yes.
Oh. I actually, for the longest time, did not know they were road graders. I just called those things snow plows because that's the only time I ever saw them.
How many dirt roads are there?
In Maine?
You know what I mean? It's like they have a very limited use. It's when you completely rebuild a road, which doesn't happen all that often, or you're maintaining a gravel road. And there's
is 70% of the roads in Maine.
Well, Maine, yes, but not Massachusetts.
That's true.
You know.
So there's been a lot of like people control in Cleveland, and it's kind of good that they have that lockdown because Cleveland has really worked hard to, you know, gentrify and clean up the city and make green spaces and, you know, have the safe spaces.
I mean, I got to say I'm absolutely kind of a First Amendment absolutist, but yeah, no, the idea of stemming back riots, like I think we don't do enough for.
Well, there's the problem is we let people get away with stuff that they shouldn't get away with in the name of the First Amendment because
right.
The First Amendment gives
lighting
you,
a car on fire right. is not
or,
the First Amendment
or blocking streets is not right. the First Amendment.
Yeah,
you know, blocking a roadway, impeding traffic is not First Amendment. That's not right. freedom of speech. That's the legal equivalent of, you know, falsely yelling fire in a theater. You're causing a problem that doesn't have to exist. You're just pissing people off.
But you see, there's a very elegant solution to that that doesn't involve the First Amendment at all. All you do is you say, you know what, if you're blocking a highway and somebody runs your dumb ass over, tough shit.
Yeah.
Boom. Mic drop. You will watch that will end immediately.
Hence the snowplows.
Exactly. Because the minute you say, If someone is intentionally blocking the highway, it is perfectly legal to run them the fuck over. It's going to be open season. Well, people won't even dare stop on the highway.
There was a place that did that. Where was it? Where car ran through the line and a couple of people got hurt and they got charged with damage. They
were kicking it and punching it.
They got charged with damage to the car that ran.
Yeah.
Thought that was awesome.
But I mean, also go on to the thing with Dallas. The whole idea that they keep saying, oh, peaceful protest.
Nope.
But no, what do we want? Dead cops? What do we want it now? Pigs in a blanket fry like bacon?
Yep.
No, that is fighting words per the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
That is not protected speech. You are calling for deaths.
Yeah, you're inciting violence.
Yep. And they succeeded, but it's not their fault.
Yeah, well.
It wasn't that. It was
one of the things that happened in Cleveland this week, and it is protected speech, was lighting the American flag on fire. And I guess the famous guy,
Gregory Johnson.
He was like the guy that made the Supreme Court case,
which was in Cleveland.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh my God. Okay. So what year was that? 80 something?
1989.
Yeah. He was the guy who had the Supreme Court finally rule that, yes, setting the flag on fire is protected speech. He was at the protest this week. Apparently, he's famous. And
maybe it wasn't in Cleveland. Sorry.
Well, whatever. And a bunch of communists decided they were going to light a flag on fire. And this was this was my favorite part. They lit a flag on fire. And the cops were right there, and the firemen were right there, you know, when it was happening. And the quote was hilarious from the Cleveland Police Twitter. It was hilarious. But the guy lit the flag on fire, and then he set himself on fire, and then accidentally set other people on fire. And in the midst of this, the police or the firemen are, like, you know, spraying him down with, like, an extinguisher. And you know, the takeaway quote was, "You're on fire. You're on fire, stupid." And, you know,
I honestly got to tell you that they should find out who that cop was and give him a medal lunch. Because I got to tell you, if I was a Cleveland cop and I saw some guy trying to light a flag on fire and he accidentally set himself on fire, I'd be hard pressed not to just stand there and laugh.
Oh no. God. You know what I would do?
Video.
Water cannon.
Water cannon.
Just bah! I see smoke.
Oh.
We were just putting I'm sorry out. I broke all your ribs, but you're not on fire. What would you rather have? Broken ribs, burned to death, motherfucker.
Oh.
So you're on fire, I put you out. I don't want to hear you complaining about my methods.
It's been a weird week here in Cleveland.
Yep.
I'd imagine.
One of the guys Mike works with. He's kind of like a single hip guy, you know, and he lives downtown.
How does he walk?
What?
If he only has one
single hip.
Yeah. Dad joke.
Hey, I'm a dad. I'm working on it.
He lives downtown and he works out here, and he said he had to go through like police checkpoints to get to his house, to get to his apartment.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was in Dallas, sorry, by the way, where he did the flag burning in 1989. Oh, was it? Yeah. Huh. It was in Dallas. So I guess they imported him up to Cleveland to
light himself on fire.
I'm sure he took a Greyhound bus.
I don't think it was him that lit himself on fire, but anyway, it was funny.
I just out of curiosity looked at the Twitter page for the Cleveland Police. And there's a lovely photo, and it says, the Cleveland Police retweeted it, and it says, "This pretty much sums up the protest situation where we are right now." And there's a couple of cops standing around, and a African-American mother with her two little boys blowing bubbles.
Nice.
So, you know, Cleveland is a chill town.
Cleveland protest.
We don't want any, you know, nonsense. We all have to live here, you know.
We don't suffer fools.
No, not really.
That's great.
Unless it's unions.
Yeah, they have a lot of those. I think that just comes from being a Northeast city.
Maybe.
I lost everyone suddenly. Maybe the
weather here mellows us out.
Well, you know, you got to fight that winter. You know, you don't really have, you know, you, when the few months of summer come around, you don't want to waste your time having a damn protest somewhere.
No, we're all in a good mood in summertime.
Yeah. Hey, at least it's not snowing. That's like the Cleveland, like, hey, how you doing? That's, you know.
Yeah. It could be like 120 degrees outside.
We don't say that shit in Maine, because if you say that, it's going to hear you, and next thing you know, it will be.
Hey, Weird, do you take your snow brush out of the car?
Nope.
Nope?
Nope. Not at all.
It's bad luck, really.
So basically going down the squirrels, Weird never takes his out, Rita never takes hers out, I'm starting to take mine out, and Alan's going, what's a snow brush?
I
also never take mine out because I know for a fact that I'm not. I mean, number one, when snow first comes, it usually comes hard and completely unexpectedly. So yeah. It's very, very hard to like say, all right, at such and such a date. I mean, like 2 years ago, we had like 4 inches of snow on October 1st. So it's hard to say, like, all right, what date do you put the snow brush back in the car? And then on top of that, even if you did have that firm date, to remember that date, that is the date that you put the snow brush back in the car. Yeah, no. Taking the snow brush out of the car means that some point in the dead of winter, you are going to be like reaching for a snow brush that you don't have.
Rather have a snow brush and not need it than to need a snow brush and not have it.
Exactly.
I have an ice scraper in my toolbox.
Yeah, it's the same idea.
I've used it once.
It was me and another guy, and we're both D&D geeks, so it's one of those, we definitely like get like the gear queer thing going on. And we were talking about like our survival equipment that we've got in the car. And one of my, you know, another guy was listening to us. He's like, okay, I see it with you. You must do like guns and guns and ammo. You've got all the survivalist gear. But the other dude's just a geek. And he's just like, why the hell does he have that stuff? And I'm like, he didn't even have that big of a kit. All the stuff that I've got in my car fits in like, you know, a children's lunchbox size area. It's just one of those, you know what? Let's throw that in there. Yeah, it doesn't take up that much extra space. And yeah, but like I've got like, yeah, space blankets and all sorts of like winter survival stuff. And that's exactly
what I have. A space blanket too.
Yeah. Why would you have that in your car? Because if I took it out of my car during inappropriate,
I will freeze
weather,
to death in July.
Or it's never ever coming back.
If I take it out of my car, a crock pot will burn my house down.
Absolutely true. No truer words have ever been said, Jay. That's the only reason why a crock pot's never burned down our houses is because
we have blankets.
Space blankets.
Space blankets. And a folding shovel.
That's right.
I don't have a folding shovel.
I don't have anything in my car.
That's because you've got
a
like
a snow brush. That's
got
what
like
I have.
The ultimate car. You've got like yours is like the Mad Max mobile. The end of the world, Brita will be driving around in her car happy.
By the way, do they ever use space blankets in space?
Yes.
I think that's the whole reason they were developed, wasn't it?
Well, I was wondering was it actually developed for space, or was it one of those things that was developed around the time of the space race?
What it is the Mylar and crap that's the space blanket.
Right,
actually that's the material they used to wrap the landing module and a lot of other stuff in the.
It's like Velcro for the Apollo. Came about
right, yeah,
as part of the whole race to space developed all these things.
Yeah.
Like microwaves.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if microwaves were. I know Velcro was part of the space program.
No, microwave predates it. They microwaves are from like the 50s.
Yeah. Well, there was the space race in the 50s. Come on, man. Sputnik. Get with it.
Yeah, 1957. I wasn't around then, believe it or not. I know it's hard for y'all to understand, but I didn't have an I like Ike button when
I like Ike.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. Yes, it was used. It was used. Yeah, for covering the modules. So it's the material, not the actual blanket.
Right.
Because I always, the first time I ever like saw a space blanket, my mom was talking about, oh yeah, the astronauts use these.
No,
I just imagined somebody. I imagined somebody tenting out on the moon. in a full space suit with just a tinfoil blanket over them.
Well, they kind of used it. I mean, that's like I said, that's the crap they wrapped around the lunar module in. So, you know, sort of, kind of.
Could have happened.
Yeah, if they'd have thought about it. If they needed one. Actually, you know what? I'm going to get so geeky here for a minute. When you're in space, getting rid of heat is the big problem. It's not staying warm is really not an issue. It's to keep from roasting yourself. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Something about the whole vacuum thing and, you know.
Keep rain from freezing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the pressure, like water and air.
Well, it's not that. It's just that it's a vacuum. You know what you know why your thermos keeps things warm or cold? Because it's a vacuum.
That's right. It doesn't have air.
The only way to transmit heat through a vacuum is radiation. You don't get convection or conduction, which is what most of your heat transfer happens on. You know, in an atmosphere. So.
All of a sudden, I'm talking to Kevin Bacon again.
I'm so sorry. You did
staring
it.
Staring at the monolith, scratching my parts.
You can't really scratch a fart, Jay.
No, parts.
Oh, I thought you said scratch a fart.
I like that little moment of dying comprehension.
How do you do that? Oh, man.
What does he possibly be? Oh, good Lord.
Oh God! Anyway, dead air.
Dead air.
Take a drink.
Wasn't exactly dead air.
It is kind of dead.
It's getting there.
Yeah.
Hey, Alan. I saw you posted this thing about. We got to talk about this. Well, to close it out, you posted this thing on the number of TSA employees that have infractions against them and the number of TSA employees that have multiple infractions.
Oh yeah, it's insane.
Oh my God.
Awesome.
And I can't find the thing, but it's kind of one of these, you know, a few weeks ago, one of the podcasts I listened to had a guy on and they were talking about this nostalgia for like the 50s that people seem to have with the idea that, you know, somehow government was competent back then. It wasn't.
It's so cute.
The problem is it was so small and unobtrusive into most people's lives that they didn't realize how incompetent it was. Now you can't avoid it. And so you see the incompetency everywhere. And a prime example of that is the TSA, where over half of the employees have official complaints against them. And a great many of them have more than one. You know, what kind of an organization do you have to be for over half of your employees to have official complaints? That's somebody.
It only drops down to like a third when you've got to, I think it's three or more.
Right. Okay. Ooh, a third. So these are people. And I don't know, you know, the official complaint process to file a complaint against the TSA is not like sending an email or making a phone call. You actually, there's like paperwork involved. You have to actually, you know, it takes time and effort. Right. So
and think about your uses of the TSA. Like I fucking hate the TSA. I despise the TSA. I want to make their lives as miserable as possible. Let me tell you, if one of them goes home and hangs themselves, I've done my job correctly. They're not human beings. Anything horrible that happens to them happens to them. I'm not advising people to commit murders. I'm advising TSA people to murder themselves. If you are in the TSA, quit or kill yourself. Those are your only options. But at the same time, the only time I ever interact with these fuckers is when I am trying to get on a plane that is going to fly, whether I'm on it or not, and to go to a place that I want to go to,
right,
whether it be go to a vacation destination or get my ass home.
Yep.
And so the idea of, you know, pushing things as far as it'll go,
right,
they all they need to do is just put you in a holding room for an hour, which is no big deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's nothing for them.
Yeah, that's like, you know, half of like serious police interactions.
And it doesn't even count as an arrest, which they cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to come over here. Sir, you need some extra screening. Step into this room.
Yep. Put you in there for an hour and bye-bye. There goes your plane.
Yep. Right.
They can even they've got your boarding pass, so they can even look at your boarding pass and figure out when the plane leaves.
They know
and
exactly
just watch the departure things and yeah.
They can
as they're rolling the ramp up, then start touching your butts. So, the idea is overall, I fuck with them, but not a lot. I fuck with them just enough that they know that I'm fucking with them, and I know that they do not respect their authority, and then I get my gear and get the fuck out of Dodge. And when they do a terrible job, or when they're halfway decent and I almost but not quite feel bad about fucking with them, it doesn't matter. I'm gone. I'm getting out of here. I don't know their name.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So anyway, that's the whole thing is, you know, the TSA, so this whole nostalgia thing, it's bullshit because the government has always been incompetent. You just didn't realize it because you didn't. You know, it's the same thing about the media. I mean, the media has always been incompetent. They've always lied to you. You just didn't know about it.
Right.
Until the internet and alternative sources.
You know what I love, Alan, as a side note to that, though, is the people that think the government faked the moon landing or September 11th or whatever. These gigantic conspiracies. Like, they can't do the little things right.
Oh, yeah.
They can't do little tiny things right.
They can't do what they're supposed to do right.
But, you know, hundreds of people involved in this gigantic conspiracy. Yeah, not a problem.
I mean, look at these government conspiracies. I mean, okay, so, you know, the massive ones that have failed, Bay of Pigs. I mean, come on. You couldn't figure out how to successfully invade a tiny little island in the Caribbean and pull that off? Really? You're that incompetent.
To be fair, it's actually the largest island in the Caribbean.
It's still a tiny little island. I mean, come on! You've seen Cuba.
A bunch of Texans in what the hell are those things called? The Zodiacs could do it in an afternoon.
Yeah, I mean that's what I. Yeah. So and then we've got the gun running thing, the Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious, yeah.
Which was totally incompetent. Who thought that was a good idea? Oh yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do that. Really? That's dumb. And you know, it's just dumb shit on top of dumb shit. Anyway, rant.
Thank you.
Thanks, Weird.
But yeah.
You got me just, ranty.
Well, the rants are good.
So anyway, yeah, TSA. So, everybody that flies interacts with the TSA, and it's always horrible. You know, you might have an experience with the TSA that's not absolutely miserable, but stop and think about it. What did you have to do to get through there? You had to take your shoes off. You had to stand in a damn line. You had to sit there for an hour or so. Sometimes you had to, you know, take off your belt, halfway undress, get looked at, have
take
a scan, take your shoes off, get scanned, take crap out of your bag. You can't take a bottle of water in the plane. You got to go in and buy one for $5 or $6. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, the whole thing is stupid. And they
to be fair, you can. My wife is the queen of brings the empty bottle through screening and then fills it up.
Well, okay, yeah, you can do that, but you can't take a full bottle of water. Again, you know what you can take, and this is funny.
Glass.
No, ice.
Big. No, you can take a glass, a Pilsner glass.
Yes, you can. But you can also take ice.
You can't take nail clippers, mind you, but you can take a Pilsner glass.
I think they relaxed on the nail clippers, if I remember correctly. Not that I'm going to fucking chance it.
So if you freeze your bottle of water, you can take it through.
Which in and of itself makes a moderately good impact weapon.
Yeah, smack.
You have a 16-ounce bottle of water frozen into a block of ice. Yep. And you might as well have a brick.
Oh yeah.
I brought like a pound and a half of frozen sausage.
That's right, and it was good too.
And to be fair, if you put a little put a little ingenuity to it, what's the I'm trying to get the agency that controls air flight. What is
FAA?
It? The FAA. The FAA red team discovered that, yeah, no, you just put a little thought to it and you can smuggle a gun on a plane.
Oh, yeah. Take it apart.
It was like 80-some percent of the firearms that they tried to sneak through got through undetected.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I guarantee red teams aren't just – they're not doing it for points. They're doing it to learn. So I guarantee the 20% or 15% that were discovered were the, well, shit, that got through and that got through.
Right.
Well,
let's see how obvious we can make it.
Right. Yeah. That's like the last, you know, the last act of the like serial killer movie.
An empty bag with a gun in it.
Yeah.
Let's see if this will go through.
It's a Smith & Wesson K frame, for crying out loud.
X frame.
Yeah.
Walk into a Dirty Harry's Model 29.
Right.
See if they catch this.
But don't you dare take a homemade electronics project in there.
Just tell them it's a clock. That's right. You're a Muslim.
Clock boy.
It's a clock I invented. Allah Akbar.
Yeah, they'll let you right through.
Aloha. Ta-da, I invented the clock.
Wear a full hijab or burqa, whatever the hell that thing is. Yeah. I'm sorry, that wasn't very politically correct.
So what?
Or, let's just face it, just buy yourself an LCP and stick it in your shit canal. Done and done.
Actually, you probably don't even have to stick it all the way up in there. Just kind of, you know, wedge it in real good. And
yeah, your butt cheeks will stop the stop the scanners.
Not if you go through the scanners.
No, it doesn't penetrate your skin.
It doesn't penetrate. It just penetrates clothing.
Yep. So if you're like one of those really fat guys with the big fupa, you could carry a couple 1911s.
You could tuck it up underneath your belly there, you know?
I hate that word.
The medical term is panis.
Fupa. I hate that.
The tactical fupa.
It's called a panis. It's called a panis.
That word is one of the reasons why I go to the gym. that word right there.
By the way, try to undo this. A friend of mine calls Toyota Yaris's Toyota Panis because of the Toyota Panis. Try not to see that every time you see a Yaris from now on until you die.
Thank you.
The Toyota Panis.
Damn it.
Fupa. also known as a gunt.
Oh, no.
Or Dunlap's disease.
Oh, yeah, Dunlap's.
What is the G in gunt?
Gut cunt.
Oh
man.
Yeah, I see those at the library.
A bit.
So I went to the gym tonight.
All right.
Did you do it? Did you do it, Brayda?
I did not.
Oh, Brayda, come on.
Although a guy came up to me, I was like in the middle of something and I was standing next to a machine that I was kind of going back and forth between doing two different things, and I was doing one thing but I was standing next to the one machine, and a guy came up to me. He's like, is it okay if I jump in for a set? And he asked me this while I was like going to drink out of my water bottle, and I kind of gave him like the nod.
Does that count?
It was like a tough person.
Did you only realize that you did the nod after the fact, or did you?
Yes.
Not, did
you yes.
Not say, I'm well, doing it the totally nod counts right then.
No, it was after. I was like, wow, that probably looked pretty cool. Nobody talks to me at the gym except I'll give you
half credit.
Okay.
Do you just totally like sit down on the bench and just take your leg off and throw it at him?
No.
Like, there's a reason why I don't have any prostheses, because I would doubt all I would do is inappropriate things with them.
No.
Oh, man, I ride on the train.
You do inappropriate things with other people's prostheses.
You do.
That's
true.
I sure do.
Not just your own.
Did I hit anybody with your leg, Brita?
No, you just were so delighted about holding it that...
You're practically making out with it.
Yeah.
I do not have a foot fetish. I mean, feet are cool. There's nothing wrong with them, but they don't do anything to me besides just.
I did wear my I hate running T-shirt to the gym because I think it's funny with my leg.
Yeah, that is really funny, and I imagine you do hate running.
I totally do.
Do you run?
No! What?
Running's stupid.
Running is very stupid.
No way.
We are not designed it. Our bipedal locomotion is designed for distance walking.
Oh, speaking of...
It's the reason we made cars.
Well, that's right. You can walk forever, but run and forget about it.
But not many species can.
No, humans are the walking champions of the animal kingdom.
Really fucking good at walking.
Wasn't that like an official like hunting
strategy?
Was to just follow animals until they drop dead of exhaustion?
Yeah, because exactly they don't have the same stamina, no.
Yep. They got to stop and rest, and we don't. I read, speaking of working out, an interesting, they did a study. First they just did a study on just regular people. Then they came back and did it on people that actually already lifted weights. And they said, you know how they say, like, you're supposed to like do a max rep. Basically you're supposed to lift the most you can possibly lift for one lift.
Right.
And then do like 80% of that to like 10 times. And that's like supposed to be your set.
Yeah.
They've done studies and they divided two groups. They had one group that did it that way. And then had another group that did like 40-50% of their max weight for like a lot longer. And what they discovered was it doesn't really matter how much weight you lift as long as you lift it until you can't lift it anymore. So you can lift a lighter weight a whole bunch of times or a lot of weight a little time. And as long as it's between your muscles are killing you and you can't move, it does the same thing, which is really great. 'Cause if you're not having to lift a giant weight, the odds of you hurting yourself are a lot less.
Right. Yeah. That's
or for my case, that's my workout routine. And I do it because I don't want to go to the gym. I don't feel like working out with other people. So I just buy equipment and I don't want to keep buying more weights or get a squat rack.
What do you do?
I just got a pair of, I think they're 15s. Uh-huh. 15 pound, just the little hand dumbbells.
I tell you what, you know what is the best thing to do? And it kicks my ass every time I go to the gym. Kettlebells.
Oh, yeah.
Swing a kettlebell, and honest to God, it is like the best exercise.
I haven't done it recently, but I used to do kettlebell exercises with my daughter.
Yeah, really?
Swinging her around.
Oh, you swung her.
Your daughter has the kettlebell.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty good.
Do the bringing her up to shoulder height, then swinging her down between your legs, then bringing her back to shoulder height. Yep. Yeah, exactly. Doesn't take very many of those.
No.
Also, one of my favorites is I do a modified military press with her. It feels so good.
Yes, bench press.
I grab both her ankles and hold her down behind my back, and then just straighten out your straighten out your arms. Everyone has the most fun with that one.
It's fun for both of you.
Wait. No. Go back. So you're holding the baby upside down.
Upside down behind your back.
Right.
So your elbows are pointed. Your elbows are pointed.
Yes, a triceps. But the baby is upside down.
They love it. Yeah.
They love it.
Upside down and held by the ankles, and then you bring them up to full extension, and then bring them back down.
Yep.
Okay.
If you really want to get giggles, do it over the couch and bonk their noggin off the couch cushion.
Yes, that does make the giggles better.
It may induce squirming, which is good for isolating certain muscle groups. You're like, oh, geez.
Okay.
Yep. There you go.
We all learn something every time.
Step one: get a baby.
Yeah. There you go. See, go, I keep telling just, people just that rent a baby franchise thing, man. Somebody's going to make a ton of money off of that. I keep pushing it. Nobody ever does it.
I think that's like slavery, Alan.
It's like a kind of child labor, at least.
Isn't it? It's like service dogs.
Yeah.
Service animals.
Service babies.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to be like...
Do they get little vests?
Yes.
Alan needs a service loris.
You know, I read a thing. I don't know if it's true or not, but it sounded really awesome, and it made me laugh. This Pokemon Go thing? There was a thing.
Oh, by the way, Alan, did you catch any sweet pocket monsters?
No. I haven't even done it. But there, this sounds too good to be true.
Alan,
so it's
can you put it on your watch? Put it on your ice watch?
This sounds too good to be true, so it's probably not. But there was supposedly a pet animal shelter somewhere that put up a sign that said, well, if you want to, for like grown-ups, and they said, if you want to play Pokemon Go and not look like you're actually doing it, you can rent $5 an hour. You can rent a dog from us to walk around and look.
And
like
the dog loves it.
And the dog loves it too. And supposedly this place, like, they not only did they make so much money from renting dogs, people got to like the dogs and said, I think I'll just keep this one. And so they actually ran out of dogs.
That's good.
And had to bring them in from other shelters. So I don't know. Nice. I don't know if it's true or not, but I like to think it is.
That's
pretty
nice.
Cool. So Jay, did you catch any Pokemans?
I do not catch Pokemans.
But you go out with your daughter while she does.
I walk with my daughter while she goes Pokemon catching or whatever.
That's kind of neat.
So it's fun. It's
Actually, Vector, who listens to the show, he and his wife have gotten into it, and I gotta say, I'm fascinated by the game. I think I said this last week. I'm fascinated by the game, but overall, the game itself looks really fucking boring. So I don't want to get into it because I will want to play it, and I will be bored the entire time I am playing it.
Do you know what's worse than Pokemon? Minecraft.
Yeah.
I don't get the appeal of Minecraft, but apparently it is like video game crack.
Yeah.
Now, I've watched that, and that does appear to be like if I was 10 years younger, that would be my net hack.
Yeah.
Like that looks like if it caught that sweet spot of just the level of openness to it and the level of you can never actually master it. You can never actually finish it. It's never going to get old. That definitely seems very appealing.
I just watched my kids playing, and I'm like, you're digging. This is what you're doing. You're digging. You know what?
Except, you know what else you can do?
You can grab an actual damn shovel and go out and actually damn dig.
Yeah, but you don't find gold and diamonds and stuff. I've dug a whole
lot
of holes.
Mostly dirt and wood, which there's tons of dirt and wood out there.
Yeah. Well, in NetHack, when I go mining, if you go into the dwarvish mine, the gnomish mines, you can do a lot of mining in there, and you find a lot of gold and gems. It's good stuff.
You're saying Minecraft ripped off NetHack, is what you're saying.
No, because it's mining.
they went heavy on mining.
Minecraft ripped off actual mining. the actual event of mining, which... Alan, when did you guys invent mining?
I'm pretty sure mining predates recorded
Alan,
history.
We totally need to do a world's oldest man routine.
2,000-year-old man.
That'd be funny, yeah. Eh, what?
We kind of did that the other night on Facebook. There's a group of folks complaining about, or I think it was Tommy, actually.
Oh.
Who was going on about, how's he going to explain to his daughter how life was. Virtual reality. I'm like, oh, you're so cute.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Rotary phones.
That's right.
I talked to my daughter about like having like three stations on the TV, and she looks at me like I'm insane. And
you should have heard me, Alan, tell my son how we did research projects when I was in elementary or middle school. Yeah. You know, because you could look it up in the dictionary or the encyclopedia. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But if it was more in depth, you had to go to the library and look up a card catalog. He's like, Dad, why don't you just Google it? I'm like,
oh no.
We were years before.
Oh no.
Yeah, we didn't have a computer until I was in college.
Oh man. I just realized.
And even then it wasn't that great.
No,
I
was
so fucking badass at microfiche.
Oh yeah, like, microfiche. Like,
I was the dude that would take you to the microfiche stacks at the Fogler Library in Orono.
That son of a bitch.
And I would people would be like, oh man, I got to do this project. I'm like, oh, you're gonna have to go into the stacks for that. I'm in for a 6-pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon. I'm in. just Pabst Blue Ribbon deal. You've got it. And so, I'd be going running through the stacks and just grabbing all the microfiche for them.
You were collecting them all. You were Pokemoning before there was Pokemon.
Oh.
That's true. Except I believe there was Pokemon then. This was only
called creepy old guys with Vans.
No, it was the mid to late 90s. The Pokemon existed back then.
Did it?
Yeah. Pokemon is pretty long running.
Oh.
Jeez.
Yeah, man. Because I remember I would take said six pack of PBR and go over to my friend's dorm and drink those PBRs while playing the original N64. What was it? What do they think? Super Smash Brothers. The original Super Smash Brothers, and there were Pokemans that you could fight with on those. And you could throw Pokeballs at people. Yeah, and get really drunk.
Okay, according to Wikipedia, it started in 1995. Hmm. So, there you go.
Wasn't there a TV show?
Oh, yeah.
What, I think it was.
It was one of those things where it was like a TV show game tie-in thing.
They did like the multifaceted. South Park did a great parody of it where they were pointing out the fact that like every 6 minutes they were switching to a different media.
Yeah.
So it was like show, toys, trading cards, video games.
Right.
Now different video games. I'm trying to remember if there was anything else in there somewhere. But yeah. No, they had it. I'm sure they had Pogs. Pogs.
There's films, too, by the way. 19 movies.
Brita, does the library have Pogs? Can I go rent a Pog?
You cannot check out Pogs. No.
They have soundtracks. That's kind of scary.
Do you have a book on Pogs?
You know, we might.
Brita?
What? Do I have to look?
For next week, can you just...
Yeah, I'll look.
In the next week, can you look up to see if we got a book on Pogs?
Yeah. Yeah. That we have all sorts of weird old crap that for some reason doesn't get weeded.
And you know what? I'll see if I'll swing by my library and see if they have anything on Pogs.
I just found a book on the shelf the other day, and it was Raising Earthworms for Ecology and Profit. And it was profit. Like from 1972, and I'm like, who is checking this out that it doesn't get weeded? Somebody.
The lucrative world of earthworm wrangling.
Somebody else. Hey man,
I spent a lot of fucking money on earthworms.
Yeah, me too. I spend a lot of money on earthworms.
Yeah,
I do.
At first, I thought you were fucking with me, and then I went, "Oh no, no, you've got a tortoise."
Yeah, I buy a lot of insects.
And we
generally.
Close yet another show with a discussion of what.
My no. Okay, fine.
By the way, British people pronounce it tortoise.
No.
Yeah,
that's just wrong.
It's no. Fucking hilarious, is what it is.
We need to have Hayden in on this one.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it's all British people, but I know that I had a coworker who was Indian and she said tortoise.
Hmm.
Oh, so, I heard the greatest bit of British slang.
Oh, no.
Bubble and squeak.
No.
Oh no.
It actually means botulism.
It's no,
bubble and squeak does not mean botulism, you asshole. That's sausage and cabbage.
It's far worse than bubble and squeak. Oh, it's, is it, I don't, you know what? I need to look it up.
Spit it out, Grandpa.
I need to see if
coal burner.
I need to see if it's in the underground dictionary. Yeah, it's coal burner. You know what a coal burner is?
What is a coal burner?
It's the spoiled white girl who dates black guys to piss off daddy.
Where did you learn this?
I heard it on some podcast I was listening to. You know what? It's funny, and it made me think: is the British really have it made? Because
they're shoveling it into the furnace.
They get to be so much more racist than we in the U.S. do. It's really it's kind of sad.
The only reason why the U.S. is so hand-wringy about racism is because we actually give a shit about it.
Right. Yeah, everywhere else it's like
oh,
they don't even have the concept of it. It's just the way
Oh my god. I mean, it's one of those like I can't remember how it came up, but I was talking to my wife about South Africa and just it's hilarious that there's like three different brands of white and then like two or three different brands of black and they all like so the whites don't differentiate between the different kinds of black. They're just black. And the blacks don't differentiate between the different kinds of white. They're all white and they're all the same. But the whites all hate the other different kinds of whites. And the blacks
hate
the other different kinds of blacks. And then in between, there's this like other bucket, this like wild card called colored, which colored means something totally different in South Africa than here. Here it just means Alan's talking about black people. tried to make another old joke for you, Alan. I'm not like too racist because, again, you welcome Brita and Jay to this podcast. He has no problem with Brita and Jay, right, who happen to be them coloreds. And but colored is something totally different. Like colored is like Asians, like South and Central Asians are coloreds. Yeah. And I think mixed race people are considered colored. So if you're like mulatto, then
South Africa, everybody hates everybody else.
They've got like this magic jackpot of racism.
Wow.
In there, and it's all like super duper important. I mean, maybe South Africa's gone further, you know, over the years, but just some of my readings on that, it's just like, holy shit, and we get all fucking bent out of shape for like Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
These black people are blocking highways and nobody does anything about
it. It's actually funny because the U.S. is one of the least racist countries on the planet.
If Black Lives Matter happened in Jim Crow South, like they would have problems with trees breaking at the trunk from all the bodies hanging off of them.
Well, if they tried to do it in some other country, go peddle that in Japan.
Or China, might I mention Tiananmen Square?
Yeah, go peddle that in
Saudi Arabia
or something like that, and see what happens.
We are blocking a street. They rolled a tank over here.
Yeah. And not think twice about it.
Nope. Did not give a fuck. Again, just like I said before. I mean, the only reason why Gandhi survived and why George Takei wasn't let off to a gas chamber was because the British Empire and the government in the United States didn't have the stomach for it to go the direction that the Soviets and the Nazis did.
Yep.
All the other, and the Khmer Rouge and the countless other names of people that had, concentration camps is just where we keep them round up until we set them on fire. Sometimes after they're dead.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
On that happy note.
If you live in Massachusetts, contact your legislature and come down to the State House at 10 o'clock on Saturday and shoot me an email or send me a post on my blog and so I know to
look. I dare you to wear your score report shirt.
I'm thinking about it.
Do it.
Now that you've told me, Brita,
2016, more Hall.
Do it.
That's right. That's right. Awesome. So that way, if I get to meet with any of my representations, I get to explain that nonsense.
Hey, it's the media.
I'm just going to simply say this is the podcast I'm going to be talking about you on.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
And they'll go, podcast, what's that?
Oh, God.
Podcast is dead, man.
I know. And I'll be like, yes, I understand. You are trying to wrap your head around 1950s technology.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, technically, like 1910 technology. Jay, when was the first semi-auto rifle?
1907.
I thought it was earlier than that. Didn't they have some...
Okay, Brita has to go.
The first semi-auto rifle...
Good night.
Right.
Magazine was
good night, Brita.
Yep.
Good night.
Night, everybody.
Good night. Bye. We're geeking.
Yep.